You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 7, Episode 19 coming your way today. It's Kieran Burke, it's Gary Riley. We're brought to you by our main sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. But as you can probably hear from my slightly ropey voice, we are back from Athens. Thankfully, we made it back in one piece. Although a very, very disappointing result and performance from Ireland. Some sort of recovery last night in the Aviva, but we'll get to all of that anyway. We're going to have Shane Keegan on the show a little bit later on. We did say last week on our show before the mid-season break that we'd get Shane on this week to discuss Cove's really strong start to the season, and Shane always happy to talk about the likes of Ireland as well, so he'll give us his views on Stephen Kenny's future and all the rest. So we've got that to come. We've got the European draws to discuss as well, Gary. I think four very favourable draws for the League of Ireland teams today. And of course, we've got the league returning this weekend, so we'll look ahead to the Premier and First Divisions. But as I said, we are back, probably worse for wear. Great to meet so many BTS listeners out in Athens. But what did you make of the trip overall?
A really enjoyable trip, bar the result and match going experience, which is what we were there for. We did quite well and got to see the Acropolis and the whole lot. So we
bit of culture
for us. I thought it was a grand enough city.
I wasn't a fan of the city, as you know. I thought it was probably one of the most run-down cities I was ever in.
Yeah, and definitely the graffiti doesn't help. You know, literally every square inch.
Everywhere. Even up the Acropolis we spot. They really get around the lads.
They do. They're busy boys. Look, I thought it was a good trip. Safe enough city. No grief, no messing, no fluting. So thought it was a good trip. The stadium stuff, really.
Yeah, well, look, we were there. Thankfully, we always go to the ground very early. I think we were probably in the ground about an hour before kickoff, weren't we? We always just
45 minutes anyway, at least.
We always just say you never know what could happen. So we got there. I suppose the first thing really that was a little bit concerning was, there was a bit of a panic on because the tickets didn't arrive into our email accounts until the day before, and that was fine. But then there seemed to be a lot of people having big issues trying to download the tickets. There was no follow-up email from the FEI to say, we understand people are having issues, this is what you have to do, blah, blah, blah. There was none of that. Look, everyone seemed to get sorted in the end. But then people started to realise, after being told about having to bring ID to match the details on the tickets, that there was no details on the tickets, but everyone still brought their ID anyway, just in case. But people started to realise, even though they had the likes of yourself and Ethan applied off the same account, you ended up in different tiers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine for people of our age, but there was families there. I think we heard of one gentleman that, he went up to the stewards. He was trying to explain, I'm with my wife and my young child. I think the mother got in and then he didn't get in and they were separated. And obviously, as a family, that would be a very unsettling experience. So that's something that needs to be addressed and looked at how that happened.
Oh, it does. Yeah, but like that should have been nipped in the bud by the FEI. That should have never have occurred in the first place. Even myself and one of the other lads, Shane, we're standing outside and we got chatting to a lad who had to swap his ticket with someone else because his young daughter was in a separate section to him. Mm. And he was talking about that he was emailing the FEI and they were saying, oh, there'll be FEI staff there, to help with this type of stuff and liaise with stewards and stuff like that. He couldn't find anybody. I couldn't see anybody myself. Not saying that they weren't there, but like there was two doors into the stadium for Irish fans, and where could they have been?
I go back to the trip to Łódź. There was a lot of FAI people or people connected with the Irish fans, we'll say, outside, and I actually thought it was very effective because I was speaking to a couple of young lads. There's a couple of young lads that they said they were going into the ground, and I think the way they there would be a couple of Gardaí sent over to liaise. I think one of them came over and said, look, lads, none of my business, but if you've got any pyro on you, anything like that, I'd advise you to dump it. There's a couple of lads got themselves in a bit of grief at the door. Don't chance it. And these young fellas said, yeah, do you know what? We'll follow that advice. They got rid of the stuff and they got in. And I think that's a great sign of the effectiveness of having, you know, someone just to liaise with the fans and to liaise with the home security. And as you said, we were told there was going to be FAI people out there or Irish supporter liaisons or whatever. We didn't see them. They weren't visible. And that was a problem in itself with everything that was going on outside.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know where I've seen it or heard it, but someone made a very good comment. If there was talk of a protest.
Yeah.
Or a flag with something not great on it, there'd be any number of FAI staff there roaming around. So, you know, when you look at it like that, and particularly when you look at the history of issues with flags and, you know, talk of a protest that we've seen down through previous years that were attempted to be quashed, then to see when there's no talk of that, well, then we don't need to do any of this stuff. As I said, not saying they were there, but they weren't visible enough in my eyes to... You know, to be able to go, oh, yo, you're having trouble. Yeah, I'm from the FAI. What's the story? How can I help you? And even then, during the game, the rubbish with closing off one of the sections, so fans had to come
in. I think you managed to get a video on yours, didn't you? Of fans climb that glass barrier. Now, it was, I think the Irish fans deserve huge credit. They didn't react to what was happening outside. They kept cool, calm, didn't give anyone any excuse to wade in there. And then when they obviously saw what was happening with these supporters arriving in late, they cleared a bit of a pathway to allow them to climb them barriers. But that could have been a catastrophic situation the other night out in Athens.
What if that last divider was a bit higher?
Yeah.
Well, now we've two sections of people in one section.
Yeah. Because the ones in the top tier were definitely much, much higher. The ones next to me were there's no way you would have climbed them.
Yeah. So, look, it's not great. There was a number of things, and that was before a ball was kicked.
But
on the pitch, the performance was desperate, really.
As bad as away performance you can remember. Me and you've been to quite a few away games now over the last 10 years or so. I can't remember a away performance so flat and just disappointing as that.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with that. I don't think we could probably, Bazuna would probably be the only boy that can be reasonably satisfied with his performance over in Greece, maybe Collins.
Yeah.
But very few others were any use at all. I think what I've been saying for quite a while is the lack of urgency, and we saw more of it then last night.
Yeah.
In the Aviva. No urgency, no, we have to go harder here. The setup last night in particular in the first half was all wrong. I don't think there was one call that was made correctly. And
I think you'd have to say the same about Athens. I think you look at, it's easy to say it in hindsight, but O'Dowd is starting. I think, you know, if you're expecting to be on the back foot in a game like that, I know everyone's not his biggest fan, but McLean probably has a lot more experience playing in a fullback position like that. I think you look at the fact that Knight didn't start the game, and then when he played last night, the impact he had. I think over the two match days, Kenny probably got every selection wrong. Tactically, he got everything wrong. The only thing he can obviously take credit for last night at halftime, he did change it. He went back to the flat back four. He brought in the likes of Mikey Johnson there that had a big impact. So, look, he eventually got there, but he made far more decisions incorrect than he did correct over the course of the few days.
Yeah, without question. Like even O'Dowda wasn't working within 5 minutes out in Greece. It wasn't happening. He was making so many bad decisions himself, and then when no one was hammering him, no, hammering isn't the right word, but no one was in his ear. This was okay. Do you know what I mean? This is like, oh yeah, but you'll get the next one, pal. And you know, all of that kind of, now I don't believe in something that happened 5 minutes later or 5 minutes earlier caused the penalty, but I think it set out where Ireland were going, and you know, went looking to concede, and it happened by a penalty.
There's been a big clamour, I suppose, after his performance in the Latvia game for Smallbone to play. But I thought it was a strange game to bring him in for. He was miles off the pace as well, and then he started again last night. And again, I thought he had a poor game last night in the Aviva. So, you can look at Kenny. I suppose some of the players really have to look at themselves as well. I look at Matt Doherty's performance on Friday. Now, I've been a long-time critic of Doherty, I think, in Glasgow, you know, where he flung the leg up in the air, turned his back and allowed his man to beat him for the cross and to get the equaliser. Ever since then, he's totally done in my eyes. But after Friday night, he's just blessed that there's so little options. Seamus Coleman was injured. I don't know who else could have played in the right-back position, but
Alan Brown played very well in a game. I can't remember what it was.
I think it might have been the Scotland game at home, would it have been?
I think possibly.
Aside from that, Doherty has, I know you can say this about quite a few players in the squad, it's an unfortunate position to be in, but he hasn't kicked the ball. I don't know what right he had to be in the team the other night. And no, it wasn't a sending off what he did at the end, but his attitude throughout the game was atrocious. And for me, I'd be having two or three thinks about putting him back in the team anytime soon.
Yeah, certainly. I don't think he's performed at the required level, certainly in the last couple of games for Ireland. Lack of match. He's played more international minutes this season than he has club minutes, and that's not great. But I think, you know, that goes to show about the lack of options in that position. And Matt, while a lot of people wouldn't be huge fans of his performances, he has been reliable enough for Stephen Kenny. So I can see that's why he might have, or that's why he made that decision to put him in. But I think the lack of urgency in both games, the lack of
this isn't the style we were promised. I think you probably were earlier to turn than I was, and people can probably get where we're going earlier. Now with this. But I think we go back to the Lithuania game. Was it Troy Parrott scored the last minute winner from 25 yards? Was that the game?
About 12 months ago or more.
Yeah. I think you were onto me at the time. You know, that's not a style of play. 700 passes, doing nothing with it, playing with no intensity. That's a COD. And I was kind of a lot slower to go down that way of thinking. But the last two games, the lack of intensity we've played with, it would bore you to sleep. This is no better than some of the long ball stuff that we saw. You know, that's not a style of play. It's the lack of intensity was atrocious over the last two games.
Yeah, but it was non-existent. And, you know, even all the talk about the training camp and the out in the hot weather and blah, blah, blah. Like, Greece was okay. It wasn't that warm.
It was very, very overcast and heavy thunderstorms. Yeah. A bit humid, but I think we definitely, we were lucky in terms of what we were expecting going out there. We definitely didn't get it. I mean, the three of us that were out there for the 4 or 5 days, we never put a drop of sun cream on them and we were grand. So it certainly wasn't the bacon cauldron we thought it was going to be. But I think that 10-day training camp now, that's probably going to be a stick that's going to be used, unfortunately, to beat Stephen Kenny with, because you look at it and you just ask what on earth went on for those 10 days.
Well, I think a lot of lads were getting their hair cut.
Yeah, well, we heard enough about it in the lead up to the game about haircuts. Absolutely shocking stuff,
you know. And you know, there was talk of a player after flying out a barber to the camp or something like that. Like, he should have been on the first plane home.
Well, if it's true, we don't know that.
But the rumors were flying around
Athens, all right. But
yeah,
we don't know. But there was a player there was a video clip of him up going on about his Barnet. Who cares? That's the stuff the fans are at the day before. You know, you go into the town, you get the haircut, you get ready for the trip. We don't need to be hearing about haircuts from players.
No, and you know that's it's not helpful, any of this. But like, I think the, you know, there's a lot of talk about Kenny now and, you know, who replaces him and stuff like that. Like, that's not really, you know, I'm not fully Kenny out. But
you're not. I thought you were. I thought you were gone. I thought you weren't for salvaging.
No, it's not that. Like, I watched back some of the Greece game and, you know, there's a lot of people talking about that we don't have the players and they haven't played a lot of games and all of that.
I just find it amazing how that narrative can turn, because when we were having good results, we were hearing about all these players that were coming through and all the rest, and then all of a sudden it's the worst Irish setup in a generation. So it's all agendas, really. But I just think we could all accept going out to Athens and losing 2-1. I think the manner of the performance is what's really, really done damage.
Yeah. But sorry, as I was saying, the talk about all the players and that they haven't played that much or have played much or whatever, there's still a lot of them are playing in the Championship, which is probably the sixth or seventh league in a lot of ways in Europe.
Yeah.
We could probably name, we probably wouldn't be able to name three club teams that were a part of the Greece squad the other night. We, you know, it's a, probably a lot of Olympiacos this and, you know, Panathinaikos that and PAOK and, you know, teams towards, you know, that part of the world. Even with, like, the same conversation was coming up against about Azerbaijan. I think most of their players played in the Azerbaijan League. What type of level of football is that?
Mm.
And in a lot of ways, probably Shamrock Rovers could probably get through, you know, a European leg against most, if not all, of the of those teams. Now, I'm obviously pulling that straight out of my ass, but I think the point is we're saying that our players aren't good enough, even though they're playing in the Championship, which is probably sixth or seventh league, as I said. And we're playing teams that have squads mostly full of players from their own leagues or, you know, lower Eastern European leagues or whatever. That doesn't seem to be part of the conversation. It seems like a lot of people are going, oh, I don't play in the Prem. Like, there was talk about Tsimikas. Like, yeah. I didn't even know who he played for. And then the lad who was standing beside his Liverpool fan, I was like, who does he play for? And he goes, oh, Liverpool. Oh, is he any use? Not really. I don't even know if he plays that much for Liverpool.
He wouldn't play that often, though.
Yeah. So people raving about him.
Yeah.
As if he's going to do damage.
But I think then if you look at the list of candidates that have been put forward as possible replacements, you know, some of the names that were been thrown around by some of the fans that were out in Athens the other night, it's just like this English football mindset is still a huge problem.
It is a huge problem. It's a FIFA computer game and Sky Sports defining what people know, a lot of people know about football in this country. Like, I'm not saying I'm a big thinker or I'm better than anybody else or I'm a better fan than anybody, but, you know, you have to open your mind out a bit more than what Sky Sports and Roy Keane and Gary Neville and the other clown tell you of a Saturday Sunday afternoon. You know, that's not helpful to the game in this country. Like, even there, what was it there? What's that show that they do? Packed out the Tree Arena, tickets gone in minutes.
The Overlap.
Right. You know, like, that says a lot about, like, where you know, what we can achieve with so much attention outside of Irish football. But, look, I think Kenny's probably on borrowed time.
Yeah.
I think the performances and you could suffer a lot of the results if the performances were there.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Mm.
Like Jason Malumbi was in centre mid the other night with Cullen. Now, Cullen, didn't he get like multiple Player of the Year awards with Burnley getting promoted this season?
Yeah. He was poor over the two games. He has generally been a top performer. But look, a lot of the players probably let Kenny down in a way over the last two games. But again, you look at the tactics then and I think I'd agree with you. I think he's very much on borrowed time.
Yeah, he certainly is.
Will he see out the rest of the campaign?
Probably will. Like, you know, because they're not going to sack him in between the two games in September, so they'll sack him after. And those two games are against Holland or the Netherlands and France.
Hmm.
So by that time, anyway, lose those two games are brown bread anyway. So what's the point?
Yeah.
So, I think players have let Kenny down in a way, but I think the style, the tactics, the approach to game, you know, and we've talked about it before, 4 million passes. Like, and I was saying this to a few lads at halftime. This is the first time in the campaign that Gibraltar haven't conceded at halftime.
Mm.
I seen a tweet last night, the last time that Gibraltar didn't concede in the first half was against Ireland in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, when and that's not probably not as much Kenny's fault as last night was, but it's not Kenny's fault because he wasn't in the job.
No.
I get my years wrong here. But when are we going to start doing it. You know, mm-hmm. Kenny's had a bag of games, 40 odd or whatever it is. All these new players, and that's fine. People can say the players aren't good enough, but like, what's he going to do? Play with a 44-year-old Glenn Whelan in midfield?
Mm.
You know, get Shea Given out of retirement. Like, what are you going to do? It doesn't make any sense. You can't talk about all the players he's brought in because the squad that was there was so old. It wasn't going to, you know, you had to bring new lads in that could actually move. I think he's actually, I do believe he's on borrowed time. He'd have to pull out some magic in September for it to not be the case.
Yeah, and look, I think it's a shame because we all really wanted it to work, but I think most Ireland fans leaving the ground that we were speaking to the other night, a lot of them said they were huge Stephen Kenny men at the start, and they just said it's not working, and I think that's kind of the very general the view at the moment. So
yeah, loads of fans leaving at halftime, like
last night.
Yeah.
Was there actually? They showed people, they actually showed it on the big screen in the Aviva, which I thought was very strange, but I thought most people were just heading for the bars out the back, although not that you could get a drink.
Yeah, you're having some trouble. Yeah, that's, look, they've no idea how to make money in the Aviva there.
No, we spoke about it on the show before, but I went up to the counter last night, tried to get a bottle of Coke before the game, all sold out ahead of kickoff. I asked the chap, did they not know there was a game on this evening? He said they were just about to go and stock it now, so whatever. But then at halftime, I didn't bother trying again, but the chap sitting next to me at halftime went out, missed about 20 minutes at the start of the second half. He came back and he said that the kid said, where's the drink? And he said, the queue was 20 minutes long, and when I got to the top, everything was gone. So that's what we're dealing with. So I think as someone that went to Athens on Friday, thankfully I wasn't caught up in the stuff outside of the ground, but I did feel like, you know, the support for the supporters as such on Friday was very poor. And then I come home Monday and I'm treated to that type of crap in my home stadium. You feel a little bit underappreciated as an Ireland fan, someone that's forking out thousands of quid a year to go and follow the team. And it doesn't feel like we're that respected.
I think the FEI should have been a bit like, right, we need to get most of this stuff right here on Monday. But then again, it was 40,000 people there on Monday. There was 3,000 Egots over in Athens, ourselves included.
I wouldn't say not respected, but I felt a little bit shortchanged, if that makes sense.
Last night or Friday?
Over the two matches.
Like we were okay on Friday, but that was only because we went into the ground early. Because I think the big thing was there was so much talk about passports being brought, and like you have to bring the ID that you told us you were bringing, and all this rubbish. And most of the tickets that got through the turnstile were scanned in by the stewards.
Mm.
The override on the turnstile.
Yeah.
So, you know, like it makes no sense what went on Friday. A thorough lack of preparation, lack of understanding. And no, this isn't the FAI's fault, but you know, we need a diplomatic link between when Ireland are playing away. We need to start talking to, like, you know, Irish pubs and businesses and stuff in the host country, because they couldn't understand why people were coming into the pub. You know, it's just baffling stuff. But that I think, back to your original point, the FEI or the experiencing the Aviva has never been brilliant.
No,
historically never been brilliant. Never, you get rode for everything you buy. I think a hot dog.
Yeah, eight quid
or something like that. Like, that's not on.
No,
a bottle of water, 3.10.
Yeah,
and then when you decide to pay that money, you don't even have it. So, like, you know, someone has made a decision within the Aviva, right? We're going to crease these lads here now. And then you can't even, when you go to make the money, you can't even make it because you don't have that any product to sell. Sure, it's insane. Like,
supporters' experience needs to be better. Saying
it does, but even, like, we'll say, you know, there was, I seen the tweets on Twitter about lads 5 minutes before kickoff, and there's FAI staff milling around, you know, between the pitch and the stands. but what are you doing in there? Like FA staff shouldn't be watching the game at all. Mm. You know, when the fans standing around outside and not being able to get in. It's crazy, like. But look, it's disappointing. Similar to like the, what do you call it, the treaty stand issue we'll hear about in 6 months' time when it should have been done. Like the statement should have been out today already. Mm. But what's happening? Why was it done? You know, and like, I'd be very surprised if that actually happens.
So
like, anybody in that wasn't in the ground before kickoff, ticket refunded immediately, no questions asked, and an apology. Like you know, for me, even me and Ethan to have to think we're on the same account. Why are you in 47 and I'm in 46? That's inexcusable. It should never have happened. But look, another issue that the FAI have to resolve.
Yeah, look, unfortunately, not too upbeat of a first part of the show.
So well, really good trip and really good form. I thought everybody, you know, there was no grief or no anything like that. I thought great crack and
the food was up our street too, wasn't it? A lot of meat.
I was a lot of kebabs and gyros.
The gyros are top notch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
don't think you can get them here anywhere, can you?
Would there be anywhere? Of course.
Could you? Yeah.
Should you make it yourself? It's not that hard.
Yeah, true. You know, anything that comes out of a microwave is too complicated for me.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something that is a bit more positive. The European draws today for the League of Ireland teams. Starting with Shamrock Rovers, they'll take on the preliminary round winners. So look, there's a lot of teams that come out of that, but the fact that those clubs are in the preliminary round obviously would suggest they're not the creme de la creme. So I think Rovers there. Be happy enough with the outcome of that today.
And that's in the Champions League?
Champions League, yeah. Okay. Moving on to the Conference League, it's a bit easier to discuss these games because we know exactly who's playing who. Dundalk, we said they needed a very kind draw and they got the kindest draw of the whole lot. They are literally playing a pub team, Bruno's Magpies. I'm not saying that to be disparaging. If you've actually read the history of Bruno's Magpies, it is a great story. They started out as a pub team, just a couple of lads looking to play football in Gibraltar, a couple of expats from England, and they actually ended up climbing through the leagues and now they're in Europe.
Yep, great story. And fair play to them for that. You know, there's a lot of commitment and a lot of messing and, you know, organising and all the rest of it. So fair play to them for doing it. But, you know, if Dundalk don't come out of this, wind it up.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
Derry have a team from the Faroes. I actually wouldn't know a huge pile about this team. You'd be hoping Derry will have enough.
Yeah, what was the name? What's the name of them?
Havana Baltafelag.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know much about them either. But when you look at the country, you look at the Faroes and Gibraltar. You know, these are teams that.
I'm just looking at their European history now. At the minute, there's a lot more red than green, which is always a good sign. They went out on aggregate against a Welsh team in the first round of qualifying last year. So,
what team? What Welsh team was that?
Newtown.
TNS?
No, Newtown.
Oh, sorry. Okay, right. Okay. Well, I don't know. Yeah, fine. That's okay.
lost to Glentoran over one leg during the COVID era. Went out against Linfield. So, yeah, I think that's a really good tie there for Derry City.
Yeah, 100%. They need to make it happen.
And Pats, they've got a team from Luxembourg, the team that Bose dude launched. Bose beat them in the Aviva a couple of years ago. So again, that looks like a really good.
Is it dude launch? I thought.
It's spelled differently, but when you put it into online, it is. It's F91. So there must have been a bit of a rebrand there or something. So unless I'm totally wrong on that, but I'm just clicking into their page here now. No, it is the team that played. Played Bose in the Aviva a couple of years ago, went out 4-0 on aggregate to Bose. So again, this looks a really good draw for Pats, as long as they can get their defenders fit again, because they're obviously missing so many players at the moment. But I think Pats have a really good chance of going through there.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, particularly after a bit of the pain from last year, it'd be great if they could get that over the line.
Yeah. Out of the four, how many can we expect to go through to the next round?
Certainly three.
Yeah.
We need to be aiming high. Keep progressing in that arena and get more money into the clubs.
Yeah, definitely. Look, we've done quite a bit of mourning there over the first half hour. So what we're going to do, we're going to give you a bit of a break from us. We're going to hear from Shane Keegan, our guest on this week's show. And then after we've heard from Shane, we'll get stuck into the First Division predictions for this weekend and then the Premier Division predictions. So let's hear from Shane Keegan on this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Now, as we have threatened to do over the last couple of weeks, I'm delighted to say we've got a hold of Shane Keegan, the Cove Ramblers boss, and he joins us on this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast after a fantastic first start to the season. Shane, welcome along. Fourth in the table after the first half of the year. You must be absolutely delighted.
Yeah, Kieran, thanks for having me on. Yeah, look, we'd be lying if we said anything other than that we're very, very happy with how the first half of the season has gone. To be honest with you, the actual looking at what position you're in the table is of less interest to me. It's nearly always a question of, if you're in the playoff positions, how many points clear are you of dropping out of it? And if you're out of the playoff positions, how many points are you off getting back into them? And where you are, what actual position you're in within the league table outside of that is of less concern to me.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good point, because as we've been talking about on the show, nearly the entire division, probably bar Kerry, are in contention for some sort of playoff spot. But you're sitting fourth there in the table and you're 7 points clear of sixth at the moment. So that's probably the most pleasing aspect for you at the moment.
It is, yeah, yeah. And look, it does give a little bit of breathing space, but without wanting to go straight into managerial speak and downplay it too much, at the same time, you're going to need that bit of space, Kieran. Our first three games coming out the other side of the break are Waterford, Athlone, Galway. Now, in the six games we've played against those three sides so far, we've picked up 1 point. A 7 point bit of breathing space can disappear very, very, very quick.
Yeah, actually, Shane, that was going to be my very next question to you. That run of games you've got coming up after the break, as you said, your points buffer that you've built up, that could disappear quite quickly. So is that something you've discussed with the players? I suppose managing expectations a little bit going into the second half of the year as well.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely is, Kieran. Now, at the same time, look, it should be something that should really excite the players, because if you think about it, I'd be reasonably confident that if we matched our first half of the season points tally, we would probably end up in the playoff positions. Now, what the boys have got is they've got three games coming up where they got a grand total of 1 point from the first half of the season. So if we could pick up more than 1 point from those three games over the next 3 weeks, well, all of a sudden, you're ahead of the curve straight away in terms of trying to match or better the first half of the season's points tally. So that should be the exciting part of it. As tough and all of those three games are going to be, that's the challenge that should excite them.
Is it hard to gauge as well, though, how other teams that you face in the first half of the season might be in the second half of the season? Because I'd be expecting for the likes of Longford Town, Finn Harps, teams like that, maybe even Treaty, to probably go and do a bit of business now in the summer. Now, I know every club will try and do that, but I think there's maybe at least one or two of those teams that could be a lot stronger in the second half of the season. So it's not easy just to look at what you've done in the first half and then say, yeah, we can do this, if we can do that. It's very unpredictable.
100%. And look, Kieran, the simple fact is that you remove the top two, and then, you know, given that it's Kerry's first year in, they're struggling that bit more. Like the other seven teams, I have no problem whatsoever in saying in any game against any of those other six teams, like there was literally almost a toss of the coin in almost every single one of them. Sometimes we came down on the right side of the coin, sometimes we came down the wrong. Luckily, and thankfully for us, we came down on the right side of it more often than not. So, again, not to downplay our achievements, but we really did maximise our points over the first half of the season. You know, by and large, we managed to come out on the right side of some very, very tight games. Like, you take, if we were to play any one of those other six teams, Kieran, I honestly believe if we played them six times, you'd end up with two wins for one team, two wins for the other team, and two draws. And it just depends on the night, which one of those results is going to be the one that's going to come out on any given night. And like that's how tight it's going to be for the whole second half of the season. And as you say, add in a couple of new faces at each club, and maybe one or two clubs losing one or two faces that they maybe didn't want to lose. That's going to have a bit of bearing on things as well. But I genuinely believe you're going to head into the last three, four games of the season with six, seven teams battling for two, three playoff spots.
From a Cove Ramblers point of view, what type of summer window are you expecting to have?
Yeah, look, no more, no different than anybody else. You know, there are maybe one or two areas around the field that we feel could get a little bit stronger for us. Knowing what areas you want to improve and managing to find the right people to improve those areas is a bit more of a challenge, that's for sure. But I tell you what we don't really want to do, Kieran, and again, I'm sure most managers are being similar, but don't really want to bring in squad fillers at this stage. There's only half a season left. You know, there's very little point in bringing in somebody who's going to be a bit part player for half a season. Really, anybody who we're looking to bring in at this stage has got to stand a proper chance of establishing themselves in the first choice 11. Otherwise, it's pointless, in my opinion.
Look, obviously, I think that's a really fair point you made earlier about a lot of the games between probably 7 or 8 teams in the league. It's a flip of a coin. It's a roll of a dice. But you've got some X-factor players in your team this season. I think we speak about Jack Doherty a lot on this show, and I know you were missing him for the last couple of months there. So it's great to have him back. And Wilson obviously has had a big impact. So how important was it bringing in those players? Because they can be and have been the difference in a lot of games.
Yeah, huge, Kieran. I think I might have done a brief bit with you before the season started. And what I found over my time at the club last season was in the middle area of the field, we were very, very strong. And it wasn't that we were overly weak in either of the two thirds, but certain incidents in those two thirds in terms of missing chances in the final third or coughing up silly mistakes in the defensive third, they were proven to be the decisive moments every week, and we could play really, really well and come away with nothing. Yeah. So I suppose that was the big plan in the off-season, was to try and go after people in both of those thirds primarily who could change that for us. Look, Jack is a unique talent. He really, really is. We're very, very lucky to have him, as with any club at this level. And he is a guy who can, you know, there are a handful of games there where there was nothing between the sides except for him. And there was one or two games where there was nothing between the sides, and because we didn't have him, we didn't get any points from it. So it's brilliant to have somebody like that on board. And then similar applies at the other side of the field where, you know, we had to kind of go far and wide, I suppose, before managing to solve our goalkeeping situation. But since bringing in Lee Stacey, it was a bit of a roll of a dice. I've never really done it before where you didn't have somebody in who was going to be available to partake in all training sessions. So it's a bit of a roll of dice in that sense. But he's been outstanding for us. Charlie Lyons, who we brought back in from Galway, has been absolutely outstanding for us. And the other big plus for us, Kieran, is couple of young fellas have kind of really, really emerged. Tiernan O'Brien has been fantastic. He was our under-19 player of the year last year and has come into the first team and established himself. And Michael McCarty, who's still under-19, has been a regular starter for us. And we actually had Charlie O'Brien miss training last night because he's in the current Irish under-20 training camp, which was brilliant for him. So a couple of fellas who I thought maybe might take another year or two to develop have actually stepped up and proved that they're ready already, which has been brilliant for us.
Going back to Lee there, it sounds like you had reservations, not about Lee, but about, as you said, that's something a lot of managers maybe wouldn't be that keen on, bringing in a player that can't be there about the camp all the time, because that can perhaps cause some issues. But this is a unique case, really, and it's paid off, as you said.
Yeah, well, a couple of things have worked in our favour there, Kieran. I would have always watched, you know, how Ollie was trying to manage it up at Harps. You know, you'd be looking on intrigued as to how does that dynamic work, and do you not end up with people being disenfranchised over them training 2 or 3 times a week, and somebody else who only trains once gets to start ahead of them. And it's a delicate balancing act, and one that Ollie always managed to work really, really well, in fairness to him. And I was reluctant in that sense, but a couple of things work. One, I think you can get away with a goalkeeper a lot easier than you can with outfielders. You know, as much and all as it's worked out with Lee, I don't know what I do it again with an outfield player. I just think it becomes a little bit messier in that sense. And the other two things, the other things that count are the two individuals involved. So, you know, Lee is around a long time. He's got a lot of experience. Anybody I spoke to, you know, in terms of his past managers and that, really, really vouched for him. So I knew it would be less of a gamble in that sense. And in terms of Dara, who is already at the club, Dara probably has played more first team minutes, I would think, than any goalkeeper in the League of Ireland First Division. He got a huge amount of minutes last year. And Dara is without a doubt going to be the long-term solution to Cove Ramblers goalkeeping, in my opinion. But he's still extremely young and in such a pivotal position. I think he understands as well that bit of experience, if we were going to have a push at it, that bit of experience was vital for us. While at the same time, if anything happens to Lee, well, we have more than enough faith in Dara that Dara can step in there and prove his worth as well. But as I say, his attitude to the whole thing, the fact that he continues to give 100% while still being comfortable enough to say, Shane, I'm still here, you know, and I want my chance if and when it comes, that's been part of making it all work as well.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think when we spoke to you very shortly after you took the job, you talked about a kind of a multi-year plan at Cove. That it wasn't all just, you know, focusing on this season. Obviously, this was a big season, but you're in the playoff places now, and it'd be great to see Cove finish there. Is there any sort of a way that you can plan for the ultimate, and if you did get promoted to the Premier Division? Because as we've seen with the likes of Longford Town, it's a totally different beast when you go up. It's great to get there, but then when you get there, it's very, very difficult. How do you kind of plan a club like Cove that have come from the very bottom of the division into a position now where you're challenging for playoff positions? Is there any sort of a way you could plan, or do you just have to cross that bridge when you get to it?
Ah, sure, Kieran, listen, the truth of the matter is, if we did actually go up, those who are involved in running the club would have a bloody heart attack. I mean, there's no point saying otherwise. How the hell you would equip yourself for something like that? I've gone through it before, obviously, when we went up with Wexford with a fully amateur squad that time. And it is pretty much mission impossible, as you found out yourselves with Longford. I think it does just have to be a case of cross that bridge if it comes. You know, I think it's still extremely unlikely. I think what would be a fantastic season for us would be to try and finish in the playoff spots and have a real, real rattle at the playoff then, and then possibly die on our sword, you know, in terms of coming up against the Waterford or something like that. And you do have to be realistic when you do throw Waterford into the playoffs. In all likelihood, I think at this stage it is likely to be Waterford. Look, I know you equipped yourselves a hell of a lot better than we did with them actually when you played them a couple of weeks ago, but you know, anytime we've ran into them, I've found them to be honest, equally as good as Galway. They're a really, really strong side. And if it is second they finish, which as I say is likely, I think they're going to start as the firmest of firm favourites in that playoff. But look, we would just love to be in that picture. And if the impossible did happen, look, I'm sure they'd find some way within the club to make it work anyway.
Yeah, certainly. Look, we're obviously all used to hearing a lot of you on Off the Ball. What have you made of the last couple of days for Ireland? Obviously, a very disappointing result and performance out in Greece. And it was a bit ropey last night up until half time. But second half, the tactical tweaks made a difference. But it's been a very turbulent few days, I think, for Stephen Kenny.
Yeah, it has, Kieran. It's been hard. You know, it was very, very hard to find any positives out of Friday night. Look, I will say that I didn't really, to be honest with you, I didn't give us much of a chance going into the game. And that's less to do with our players or our manager. I had done a piece on Greece, a tactical analysis on Greece for the 42.ie. And it was only really when I was going through their previous games and watching their games and highlights that I was thinking to myself, Jesus, these are actually very, very, very good. Mm. I really, really did think so. But at the same time, you know, there's a way in which you can lose. And I think Stephen and all the staff and the players will still be disappointed with the manner in which they lost. You know, the scoreline doesn't look the worst in the world, but let's be honest, we were very, very lucky with Gambazuna's performance there, really, because Greece were a hell of a lot better than us on the night. And as I say, normally, you know, it's my natural instinct to come out swinging and defend Steve and kind of, you know, being a League of Ireland man and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm nearly always able to find reasons, you know, to get behind him. But look, I think he himself will admit, you know, it was very hard to find a positive angle to come out of Friday night. I'll be honest with you, we were actually training last night. We were trying to run the Spain and Portugal beer out of the players back after the mid-season break last night. So we were. So I didn't get to see it live. I was glancing down at my phone. I was afraid, obviously, when it got to halftime the way it did. But look, thankfully, they managed to get through it. But I know I might be gone from the majority to the minority. I do still believe he's the right man. I also look at the other options that are out there and none of them inspire me. I think we go with Stephen certainly until the end of this campaign. You know, the players need to help dig him out here. They really, really do. They need to dig in and try and turn it around. The one thing I will say, Kieran, is from reading the players' comments, I know all players will defend their manager, but because they kind of have to at the time, but some of the comments that the players have made have gone way above and beyond just defending Stephen. He seems to still absolutely have that dressing room behind him. And I think that is probably the most important thing. And you know, maybe it's more hope than expectation at this stage, but I certainly do still hope that he's able to turn it all around.
Yeah, certainly so. Shane, great catching up with you. Look, well done on the first half of the season, and hopefully maybe that impossible dream can be realised.
Cheers, Kieran. Thanks a million.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, that was Shane Keegan. Thanks to him for joining us on this week's show. And Gary, we'll start with our first division predictions by looking ahead to Cove's game against Waterford. As Shane alluded to in the interview, this is the sort of game that they have really struggled with in this season. Can we expect anything different this time, or will Waterford steamroll them again?
Cove had a few decent results of late.
Back-to-back wins going into the break.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. But I think Waterford are obviously a different kettle of fish. I think it'll be a monumental task for Cove, particularly when we saw them down in St. Coleman's Park a few weeks ago. I don't think Waterford can be stopped just at this particular moment.
I hope the grass isn't any longer than it was against Longford, or Waterford will be doing well to find their way around Coleman's Park. Never mind.
They'd lose the ball. Yeah, it was awful. I think though. Yeah, no, I'm going to go for two. I'll give Cove a glimmer of hope. 2-1 to Waterford.
The pitch could be a bit of a leveler in this one. If it's in the same sort of nick that it was against Longford, that would concern me a little bit. But look, this is a game that, as Shane said himself, they have struggled in. I'll go 2-0 to Waterford on that one. Athlone against Treaty. We had Tommy Barrett on the show last week. They're going up against quite an in-form Athlone team from the first half of the season. Athlone at home here. Is it only right to expect an Athlone win?
I think so. I think, you know, the Athlone have had three on the bounce. There's some good goals and strong performances in those games. I think it's going to be, you know, Treaty's form, it's been quite poor lately. Haven't been ticking over as nicely as they might have hoped. So I'm going to say 3-1 to Athlone.
3-1 to Athlone. Okay, I'm going to go 2-1 to Athlone there. Obviously, there might be some changes in some of the squads after the break, but in a lot of cases, it'll be probably the 1st of July onwards before we see any real change. And I think there's a lot of whispers that there could be quite a few outgoings there at the likes of Treaty. I think there's going to be a lot of movement in the First Division by the sounds of things. So
a lot of talk about stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the makeup of these teams in a couple of weeks' time. Bray against Kerry. I wonder if Kerry will be one of those teams that might have wholesale changes, given, you know, they have struggled to adapt to this level.
Yeah, but that's not unexpected, either.
Yeah. I suppose just disappointing some of the hammerings they have taken.
I think that's the point, and, you know, getting hammered in the way that they have been is the issue. You'd like to see that they can, you know, even be a bit closer to their opponents. Like I say, Friday wasn't a bad result. Lost 1-0 to Athlone.
And even this game, I think they lost 4-2 to Bray earlier in the season. I think that game was at the Carlisle, if I'm not wrong. And the difference in that game was set pieces, something that Kerry have massively struggled with in the first half of the year. Yeah. Bray are going into this game after probably a slightly underwhelming start to the season. The pressure is very much on the home team here.
It is. They have to be. Just get it done. Keep moving. Because they're just sneaking. They're sneaking inside the last playoff place there. So they need to keep motoring on. They can't be affording any slip ups like this against Kerry. It's not really. It's not a runner at all. So I'm going to go 2-0 Bray.
Okay, I'll go 2-1 to Bray there on that one. Galway against Longford Town.
Yeah, big game for Galway. Their only defeat came at the hands of Longford Town this season.
Will they avenge it?
No, they won't. 1-1 Town.
What are you basing that on?
Longford's biggest problem this season, apart from like having half their squad in
on the treatment table.
On the treatment table. Is the teams around them.
Yeah.
Everybody bar Galway and Waterford are the problem, which is unfortunate because that's seven other teams. their record, they haven't lost to Waterford this season. They've only lost once to Galway and bet them in the other game. Whatever it is, they big it up for the top two. They were unlucky to lose the game, I think. Well, you were at that game in Galway, weren't you? I was away.
I can't remember it at all.
Jack saved the penalty early
yes,
on.
Sorry, he did. Yeah. Oh, deflection. Was it just the one goal in it in the end, or did they get another one towards? Yeah, Darren Clark, an old deflection. Yeah, they were very unlucky that night, Town. There's basis on your prediction there. I just think after the break, you know, all the Galway boys away on holiday. I know the Longford lads, I'm sure they had a holiday as well, but it was more of a carefree holiday for the Galway lads. They'll come back now to M&DC, big crowd behind them, I'm sure. I'm just going to shade it the Galway way 2-1, but it'll be an interesting game, that one. Harps against Wexford. This is an interesting one as well, because Harps obviously ended the first half of the season with that very important win down in Longford. Wexford very up and down in the first half of the season, so this is a big game for both teams.
Yeah, and actually just as well, it was great to meet so many of my personal fans, Harps fans, out in Athens as well. Hello to you all. Your autographs are in the post. But that game, I'd forgotten some of that.
This is a tough game to call, this one, is it?
Yeah, I think so. I think
two bad defenses here.
Yeah.
Mm.
What Wexford are so unreliable. It's not even funny. You don't know what they're going to get from 1 minute to the next, and remind 1 week to the next.
Mm.
I'd have quite a concern with them, to be quite honest. And even with Harps, with the injuries that they've had, they're only all right on against Longford, but that's all they needed to be, and they did manage to dig out a few goals. If Ryan Flood plays as well as he did against Longford, then you know he's going to cause a serious number of problems for Wexford. So, I'm going to go 2-1 Harps.
Yeah, I haven't gone for a draw yet, so I'm going to go 2-2. I think it could be a high scoring game there because both teams have struggled defensively this season. Let's move on to the Premier Division, and we've got quite a few big. It's a great way to restart the league. Some big derby games, including the Louth derby, Drogheda against Dundalk. And I'll go first on this one because I suppose this is a game that Drogheda have let slip through their hands on a number of occasions this season.
Yeah.
And I'm wary of kind of. Drogheda got a great result. They beat Pats before the break. And a few times this season, I've kind of been caught out by that. And I've expected Drogheda to go and back that up. But it's probably unfair and unrealistic to expect them to do that all the time because they are a part-time team playing in a full-time division. But I actually think this is the case where they will do it. I think they're due one over Dundalk, and I think they'll get it here. So I'm going to go 2-1 to Drogheda.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with you. And didn't Dundalk lose your boy Wazari?
Sorry, Williams has gone back to the UK, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he's going to be a miss. Whatever he slices. I know you weren't impressed with him in a lot of games. You said he was a bit... Wasn't he a bit...
I wasn't...
on the turn.
I wasn't impressed with him. I did read, and actually I was totally unaware. I was reading the statement that today Dundalk had online. He was actually due to stay for the duration of the season, but his partner back in the UK actually she's suffering with cancer at the moment, so he's going back to support her. So I wasn't aware of that. And again, it goes to show us, but you don't always know what players are dealing with, and particularly then when you're moving away to play football and you're dealing with that in your head as well, it can't be easy. So
no,
look, I wasn't impressed with him, but it cannot have been easy for him at all. So look, but it's another body gone out the door in what's already a thinly stretched squad. So
That's right. We
keep saying how important this summer window is going to be for Dundalk, particularly with Europe coming up now. They really need to get players in there, and quality players as well. But who knows what the situation is at Dundalk, as we've touched on at times. But I just think Drogheda, I think they're due one over Dundalk.
Yeah, they are. Look, the third time's the charm, as the saying goes. I think you know, you'd be gutted with those two results against Dundalk this season. I'm gonna go 2-1 to Drogheda.
Okay, moving along, Pats against Shells.
Big one here, especially with Pats now, because they have the. I think it's going to be a good boost for Pats mentally with the fixture, the European fixture. Now set in stone, you know, it's going to be right. You know, we've something to look forward to where we can beat the team, the Luxembourg team. Not saying that it's nailed on or anything like that, But you know, that's you're not going up against something that you're going to get battered against either. Yeah. So that needs to be, I think that's going to give them a good boost heading into, you know, from now on until that fixture. So this game's at home. Shells have been difficult to break down, but I'm going to go 1-0 Pats.
1-0 to Pats. Yeah. I'm finding this one very difficult to call. They're generally very tight encounters, these, aren't they? Pats losing before the break. No, I'm going to go for a draw here. I'm going to go with my old reliable 1-1 on that one. I can't separate them. UCD against Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, bottom of a relegation battle, this one. Obviously, yeah.
I have UCD. To say, I know we listened to the podcast just to pass the time traveling back and forth. There was a great reaction, I have to say, to last week's pod. So a huge thanks to everyone that tuned in. We particularly got a lot of comments about our interview with Jerry, the Sligo Rovers fan. We've obviously been very critical, you in particular, of Sligo, over the last number of seasons. I think Jerry gave an alternative view on that. So is there going to be maybe a softening of our position on Sligo on this show?
Oh, God, no. Not at all. No. That's that. they haven't done it on the pitch in a number of years. I don't know anything else. Wasn't one of the didn't Jerry say, well, it's not all about football.
Yeah.
You know, I think you hear that from teams that don't like they're going to look like they're going to win Anton for a while, haven't won Anton in a while, doing nothing in the league. You know, we heard that with Bowes. Did we not?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's all about everything else that we do, nothing to do with football. That's not, you know, that doesn't wash with me now.
You'll have a massive hammer to beat them with here if they don't beat UCD. Will they get the job done here, Sligo Rovers?
Here's a question for you before I answer that.
Okay.
Should Russell go if he doesn't win this game? Because the fact that I haven't heard enough about him under pressure is crazy. Because, Stephen O'Donnell seems to be under more pressure and he's fifth in the table.
Yeah, I think I said this to you recently, didn't I? That I was surprised the lack of kind of noise we were hearing about John Russell. But I think then maybe Jerry's viewpoint, if that's kind of the viewpoint of the large part of the fan base, maybe that's a reason for it. I think if he loses this game or even fails to win it and teams around him pick up points, the likes of Drogheda, the likes of Cork City, I think he's going to naturally be under huge pressure because I'm sure financially relegation would be an absolute disaster for Sligo.
Yeah, so look, the big club in the West, yeah, it's not great. I'm gonna have to give them and I'm not saying this mess, I'm gonna have to give them the benefit of the doubt here because there has to be a line somewhere. And UCD has to be the bottom here. I'm going to go 2-0. 2-1 Sligo.
2-1. Just from a UCD point of view, before I give you my prediction, they're returning now from the summer break with 6 points on the board, 1 win from 20, 16 defeats.
Yeah,
they're, do the maths for me, 21 minus 6, whatever that is.
15.
15 points off safety. Can you pick yourself up coming back from the break for that? Can you have any sort of belief you're going to drag yourself out of that situation?
I think that they're bringing in players. I know they haven't been announced, but we know that they're bringing them in.
Are they good enough to turn around a 15-point deficit? There's one player going back there that's a very good player. And I suppose new players coming into the camp, bit of freshness. If you get one result, then like a win here, who knows what happens? But
yeah, but they beat Cork a couple of times, you know, and that's 2 6-pointers. So, yeah, it's not beyond the realms. It's going to be, you know, they should make a documentary about it if they come out of this.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll get the boys that do the ones for when Ireland beat New Zealand in the rugby. it would be monumental. We think some players are going back, that are going there are good. I know of other players that shouldn't be playing the game at all.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you know, but I think when you're in this place, you have to try something, you have to do stuff. So, look, I think it's, I'm not going out on much of a limb here to say that UCD are finished.
Yeah, no, look, I'll follow you 2-1 to Sligo Rovers, but it has to be. Bows against Rovers, the Dublin Derby.
The Dublin Derby.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is in Daly Mount on Friday. I haven't heard much talk about it. Have you? I suppose we're only after
lost in the news, the international news cycle a bit, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I'm going to say... Oh, I think Rovers are going to win. Let me just make that very clear. How they're going to win it, and
we've seen a Rovers player on one of our flights coming home from
I don't think he was in Athens now. So
no. I was going to say he didn't look too rough. He looked in good shape, fresh. Still. Yeah. So yeah. That's not good. The one of their main men has not been on the pints, I don't think.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been. Yeah,
more encouraging if we seen him, you know, with big baggy eyes and the hair all over his face and a bit of a belly emerging. Yeah. No sign of any of that.
No, none. Yeah, look, I think I just think Rovers are just Rovers, and I don't think we've seen enough from Bows to really put a glove on them at the moment. They've had some good performances and good results at Bows, but I don't think there's enough there at this moment. You know, they've had some good draws and stuff like that. They've obviously bet Sligo handy, which isn't a big achievement at all. But you know, the damage and loss against Cork, and then they follow that up with a good draw at home to Derry. So there's some, you know, there's a lot of ropiness there, inconsistency. So I don't think Rovers will mind any of that. I'm going to go 2-1 Rovers.
Yeah, I'm going 2-1 Rovers as well. And finally, Derry City against Cork City. Derry have to really hit the ground running after the break, don't they?
They need to start putting some stuff together and quick.
Need to start building momentum for Europe as well. Because people have said it was a big disappointment last year, but Riga were no mugs. I think they've got a much better draw this time around. But yeah, like we speak about a bit like Ireland, we want to see that progression. And even we've spoken about it this season from Derry, we haven't seen really the progression from last year that we would have liked to have seen after winning the cup. We thought they'd kick on. I don't think they have. They have to really go and show us now in the second half of the season they've got what it takes to make something of themselves this year. Let that be. You know, I don't think they're going to win. I think Rovers will win it, but they have to try and get closer to them.
They have to try and get closer, but you don't want to leave opportunities behind. Like, you look at last season for Pats, for example. I was disappointed with their performance. And I know we talked about the ref before. I actually thought they left it there themselves in a large way. And that would have been a huge regret for Clancy and also the players themselves, of course. But now,
didn't they concede a set piece early on in that game in Tallinn, the European game, and then missed great chances and I suppose maybe got caught up in some of the dark arts that CSK Sofia wanted them to get caught up in and got a bit sidetracked by that.
These are all points, but without talking about Pats, I just mean you have to
learn from these things.
Learn from these things, progress, grow, you know. Take it, internalize it, and you know, all that other mumbo jumbo that people go on with, but it has to be done at the same time, because you have to look towards what are we doing this season? Are we going to do the same? One thing, and I know Cork won the division in, was it 2017? Was it?
Cork won the
Premier Division, League of Ireland.
Division.
Yeah.
Seems so long ago now. In around that ballpark.
Yeah, but I've always said that they were a pain in Dundalk's hole. Like they weren't any use. But like you look back at all their European exploits, exploits during that time. You know, there was some shocking results.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that should have never happened. I remember trying to watch a, you know, either a betting stream or you know, some level of camera phone. And you know, and they just were totally inconsequential in most of those games. And now we don't want to see. We kind of moved on from that, thankfully, but we want to see the progression going on, and Derry need to do that. I don't just talk about players moving towards them at this moment. I think I seen on Twitter some lad it up that Rory Keatman's in talks.
I didn't see that.
I only saw it there as we were coming online.
Yeah, but I've heard a few names of strikers linked over the last couple of days. That's obviously a position that Rory Higgins is keen to solve, because as we've touched on over recent podcasts, McGonigal has lost his confidence or his form in front of goal. Collie Whelan obviously has suffered another terrible injury. Keane Kavanagh, target man, but is he going to bang in 20 goals? Probably not. So you can see that's an area of concern for them.
100%. And I think that they need to, you know, they need to jump on it now. They need to start going harder at it. And yeah, I need a bit more from Derry at this moment in time. But with the European stuff coming on, should there be a bit more positivity around them, or has the league kind of soured it in a way?
That's what I mean about the restart now after the break. It has to be strong, or the whole thing could get sour. If they don't find their form in the league, and next thing they go out of Europe early doors, all of a sudden you're relying on the FA Cup again.
And but the season's over at that point.
Yeah.
You know, you're miles away. Rovers are going to just keep pulling away. Yeah. But anyway, what do you think for this?
Well, when Cork went up to the Brandywell earlier in the season, they actually made it quite difficult for Derry. I think Derry ended up scoring a couple of, I think it was 2-0 on the night, but I remember, I think those goals came on the counter, or Cork caused them a lot of trouble on the counter-attack that night. It wasn't an easy game for Derry. And with Buckley going in since there now, I'd expect Cork to even be more difficult to break down. And by the way, we were just talking there about maybe strikers being a priority for Derry. I was reading today that Cork City have Jayce Cabea training with them at the moment. He's after being released from Scottish football, and he's got an injury at the moment, but he could be maybe signing for Cork. What would you make of that as a signing?
Look, I think at this particular place, you need
It's not exactly an area of the pitch they're stuck for, though, at the moment, is it? They've got Tunde and they've got Keaton. I know you've mentioned there that maybe clubs might be looking at Keaton, which wouldn't be surprised given his goal scoring exploits in the first half of the season. But, so look, we all know Kabea has the talent. It hasn't happened for him, really. He went to Shells. I don't think did he have much of an impact at Shells. I can't really.
No.
And then he went over. I think
we were surprised that he got that move to Scotland in the first place.
Mm.
You know, so look, I think, that's it.
I suppose they'd be hoping to, you know, Shawnee Maguire, he signed for Cork. I hadn't worked for him at Dundalk, and look what happened. Mm-hmm. So you never know, a player can just find their feet all of a sudden. But I just thought that was an interesting one to mention. But I think Cork can make it difficult for Derry. I'd nearly be more confident if this was down in Turner's Cross that Derry would win this. I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-0 Derry.
Okay. Look.
This is it, boys. Just Derry. Yeah. Get doing it. Get at it. Get after it. Don't hear any grief. Any crap. There's no excuses. Like, as I said before, if a comet hit this stadium, obviously, I don't want that. You know, that's not great. But there's no excuses.
Yeah.
You're playing the team in ninth. You've ideas about winning the division. Time to do it.
Yeah. It's hard to preview the games directly after the break. We've kind of lost a little bit of a flow from not doing it last week. I found them games quite hard to preview, and there's a lot of games, particularly in the first division. I think we're saying this all season long, a lot of the games between the teams that aren't Galway and Waterford is a flip of the coin. So there's some really difficult games to call there, and then you've got the likes of Drogheda, Dundalk, Pat, Shells. I think they're really tough games to call, and I've even suggested UCD Sligo and Derry and Cork could be tight, so there'll be some really, really interesting games to look back on next week's show. But Look, we haven't really got much else to say. It's a little bit of a shorter show this week because obviously there was no games in terms of the league to look back on. But as I said, Gary, there should be some really interesting talking points, not only next week, but over the coming weeks. Because as I said, once the 1st of July hits, there's going to be a lot of movement. We've got the European games to look forward to. I know John Breyer, that was always his favourite part of the year on this show, was when the European games come around. He loved talking about the coefficient and all the rest. So we're looking into a really exciting second half of the season now.
Absolutely. It's starting to, you know, this, we've had the starter now between Europe and the transfer window and, you know, relegation and all of that. It's all coming up nice and busy and interesting, and, you know, going to see how there'll be any big moves and all the rest of that. So hopefully there'll be lots of stuff going on and lots of talking points to talk about.
And look, you'll hear it all here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. So if you haven't already hit the subscription button on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you're listening to your podcast, make sure you do that ahead of the second half of the season, because we will be here each and every week. At the moment, I think you've probably noticed we're aiming always for a Wednesday morning 6 a.m. release, but that's very much dependent on our personal lives. Not that we have too much of those, but we do aim to get it out that kind of time in the week. But look, if you're subscribed, you won't miss it. It'll go straight into your Spotify or your Apple or wherever you listen. So do that and keep following us on Twitter and you'll know exactly what's coming up on the show. But yeah, look, I've got some really good interviews lined up for the next few weeks as well. So as I said, there is a lot to look forward to here on the show. And we do appreciate each and every one of you that listen. And again, Gary, brilliant to meet so many different listeners of different clubs over in Athens.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Great to hear. Great to get the I think I put a call out for to be dug out a bit more by lads, and I certainly got that from the Harps boys on was it Wednesday or Thursday night or something like that.
Oh,
I think
it all rolled into one after
all. Yeah. But yeah, no, good crack. Great to hear, and great to see so many people. It's nice to you know, hear from so many League of Ireland fans on away trips as well. So yeah, great to get.
Yep, look, that's where we'll leave it. A huge thanks to Gary, a huge thanks to Shane Keegan for joining us on the show, and of course to our sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions this League of Ireland season. But until next week, a huge thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.